let us briefly review what Rav, we're in the middle of what Rav Kook is saying. We're in the middle of Perek Gimel of Orot. And Rav Kook is speaking about the idea, what happened in order to create Galus. And remember, we talked about, we're still talking about extensively this idea of this well that's flowing, that Eretz Yisrael is like a well that everything dwells from. And the Jewish people sin in a certain way. They have the power to be metame that well, to sort of defile the well, and it continues to flow. But then the flow that it's producing is this
polluted
right, gunk. Right, mucus, as it were. And what God has to do is sort of clear everything out and stop the flow, and then it can start out in a healthy way. Okay, and then when it's purified, slowly but surely, when it's purified, when everybody's gone, it's purified, then the gullus becomes extraneous, unnecessary, exile becomes unnecessary, and then God can return his people to the land of Israel. Okay? So we're on page 79 now, and we'll see who this thing. I want to get through as much of this as I can. I'd really like to finish this in the next, I guess, two shiurim to get through these two. Thank you very much. To get through this issue relatively quickly as possible, because Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda, in these esoteric ideas, he can only explain it so well. So we see a lot of times that he's repeating it. You know, he's repeating the ideas only in so many different words, and you just have to. It's in a way, it's good because you have to kind of internalize it. But another way, you know, after reading it so many times, you know, there's only so much you're gonna.
You're going to absorb.
You know, we'll move to other things.
Osmosis, you
want to get it? Yeah. Now, let's return to our issue, because remember he was talking about, the last time we talked about the Yerushalmi and the Rambam and how he does. Rav Tzvi Yehuda, he paints a picture that Torah, that the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is a different Torah than the Torah of Gullus. That the Torah of Gullus, in a sense, is much more ritualistic and particularist, whereas the Torah of Eretz Yisrael sees issues in a different way. And he says that's how the Rambam sees things. And the more you think about what he was saying, the more it makes sense. The Rambam refused. He didn't write a Shulchan Aruch. He wrote a code of the entire Torah. Because in his view, how could you have a halakha without Hilchos Malachim, Hilchos Sanhedrin, you know, Hilchos Orla and Shmita? And Shulchan Aruch said, "Well, what are we doing now? Shulchan Aruch is just a book of the things that we need." And the Rambam said, "What do you mean? What do we need? That's it's like, yeah, what kind of book is that? That's not the whole Torah." And it's a very powerful idea, and if you think about it, if you're writing a book for only what you need, you're going to write in a certain way. If you're trying to write a compilation, the code for everything, the way things interact and intertwine with one another, you're going to write in a very different way. And I think that's an important point that we have to realize, that in the Rav Kook view, Torah, as it's practiced and as a philosophy, is fundamentally different than exile Torah. Fundamentally different, you know. It's the expression of the Jewish national ideal, and it's very different than the ritual of, you know, brachos and davening. And it's not just about coming close to God; it's about creating this national movement, this national connection to God.
Or is it that by creating that you're coming close to God?
Yeah, of course. But in the Rav Kookian view, the way we do it is just like it's like a joke compared to what we could do as Klal Yisrael. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a sad shadow of what it could be.
Right.
And you see hints of this in all his Tzioni writings, you know, and the Chazal and the Ma'amari Chazal that speak about, you know, the Ramban that quotes the Gemara that says, you know, that the only reason we do mitzvahs in the Chutzlar, as the Ramban says, is practice for Yisrael. You get really upset about that, but when you look at it as a part of the worldview, that's what he means. He means, yeah, because what you're doing now is a joke. It doesn't mean, it's like a small fraction of what it should be. And that's what he means. Okay, sorry, that's what he meant. Let's go back to our issue. But Matzav HaBriyuti, in the healthy situation, Halo Galuti, of non-exile, Yesh Briut HaOrganizm HaRuchani. There is a certain health of the spiritual organism. HaGuf HaTziburi HaKlal Yisraeli. The community body of Klal Yisrael. Think about the Jewish people as an organism, right? As a living, breathing thing. So when we're not in exile, when we're healthy, everything's good. If because of our sins we're exiled, right? That's from Musaf. And we defile the house of God. Then the organism, right, our health is afflicted. And that's a quote from Rav Kook, right? Then the well stops flowing. this essential, fundamental Israelite health. Hakla Yisraelit boletet pachot. Right, this health, boletet means it protrudes less. Meaning, if you think about it, think about the Jewish people in this organism, right, that what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to represent a certain idea. We're supposed to broadcast a certain idea. Okay, now I was actually in Best Buy today. It's a really good example. So there was like one of these, they're trying to sell you on HD TVs. You ever go to Best Buy? So they're running this DVD. They're trying to get you to buy their high definition DVDs. So they say, what's the difference between, why should I get high definition? I get a regular DVD. So they show you side by side. Right? So they're showing you the same movie side by side. And they show you, oh, you never noticed just how blurry the picture was. You know what I'm saying? And you see, oh, HD DVD, of course I need to see, you know, the blood splurting out of the guy's guts, you know, in full definition. Because my movie experience is lacking with that. Right, exactly. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, but you don't understand,
you don't realize what
you're missing. Right, so, just, you were very makbid on coffee in the morning. And I become a little bit of a coffee mafunak. So I noticed that the coffee wasn't as good as it usually was. I said to Eddie Katz, what are you doing? So he showed me that he had found a can of Maxwell House. So you know, objectively, Maxwell House is fine. So that was so Mr. Middleman was mocking me for being a spoiled American kid. I said, okay, fine. He's right. You know, fine. So I drank the Maxwell House. So he bought 8 o'clock coffee that we grind fresh. So I ground it up and I said, okay, smell the Maxwell House and now smell the 8 o'clock coffee. And the Maxwell House smells like pencil shavings. You know, when you compare one to the other, you know, even though it tastes fine in your coffee, when you compare one to the other, it's obvious. It's just obvious. So I can taste it. And then he's like, no, Rabbi, it's the same coffee. No, but this is the idea. So B'nai Yisrael, they're supposed to represent something. So when they're in their healthy situation, the way Rav Kook describes it, they're bolet, they're sharp, they protrude. Right? Think about them, think about the letters or the clarity that B'nai Yisrael, that this healthy organism is supposed to create. I mean, everything is sort of the idea and the light that we're supposed to emanate. So when we're in a healthy situation, then everything is good. He said, but if not, then boletet pachod. Use that language a lot with Yehuda. They stick out less. They protrude less. B'yachas la'am, b'yachas la'am. It's relating to the nation, relating to the land. Bolet pachod. Nikar pachod. It's less recognizable. Mofia pachod. It appears less. Meaning the Jewishness of the Jewish people, it's less powerful, it's less strong, it's less, meaning the message that we're supposed to have, our Jewishness in the world,
is not as concentrated,
it's not as strong, it's not as emphasized. It's pachot yahadut, less Judaism, pachot yisraeliut, less Israeliteness. Now, see how he says it. You notice, by the way, yahadut and yisraeliut, it's not being an Israeli, modern Israeli. It's a very important concept. Yisraeliut in Rav Kook's vernacular is Yisraeliut, fulfilling the ideal of what it means to be a Jew, a member of Israel. You understand? Not a state of Israel, not a citizen of the state.
Name of Yaakov.
What?
The name of Yaakov.
No, but it's Yahadut. He says Yahadut and Yisraeliut. Yisraeliut is a
nationality.
Right. It's a nationality. It's a function of Yahadus. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning, a year ago, Avram would have said, "What's the difference between Yahadut and Yisraeliut?" Right? Or Yahadus Yisraelius. I don't know how you would have said it, but they're different. Eliyeh Stamiyut. Stamiyut, Stam is plainness, banality. Right? You know, the Jews, they become bland, they become vague. They don't stick out, they don't protrude, they don't shine. Hanitzotza Yisrael kadmu la'olam, that spark of Jews that preceded the world, shayach gam l'tzelem elokim sheha b'adam ha'klali. Right? Meaning, every human being has that spark of God in him. But the point of the Jewish people was to shine that light so that it would arouse that spark in the people. So if there's less Jewish light, so then what light is there in the world? What spirituality? The Tzelem Elokim, the form of God in everyone. V'zenish'av nimshach et davka begalut. Begalut ha'am v'chorban ha'aretz. Meaning the Tzelem Elokim, the general light of God in all humankind, right, comes out when we're in Galut. Ha'aretz mitcharevet u'mishtomemet, and the land is destroyed and silent. and its destruction atones. Says in the Torah that the land will abandon them. And the Torah says, if you keep Shemitah, great. If you don't keep Shemitah, it'll kick you out.
And
it'll take its Shemitahs. You notice, by the way, that he talks about Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael as a living thing. Right? Where did he get that from? The Torah talks about Am Yisrael and specifically Eretz Yisrael as a living thing. Right? Israel is alive. It will accept you. Correct. It will accept you or it will spit you out. Correct. You know, and it's very, it's a Kabbalistic idea, but it's also an explicitly overt idea in the Torah. Okay, Sheila, Eich HaKorban Mechaper, how does it work? How does the Korban bring atonement? Tshuva, Kol Onus Mechaper, Kol Gavur Mechaper, every punishment is an atonement, every exile, Kol Ayusur Mechaper. Right, and the Rav talked about that, that there's an idea of punishment and suffering are atonement. V'galud Yeshi Surim Noraim. Nobody has to, everybody knows what the tremendous afflictions are in the exile, and that's an atonement. She'ela, question, why do we have to have atonement for the land? Tshuva, ha'aretz b'churbana, the land in its churban, in its destruction, desolation, v'ze'onish gam ba'avura, it's a punishment for who?
For itself.
No, for the land, right. Kifisha katu b'tzuki matarash, that's important, v'lo tzikma ha'aretz, don't defile the land. Nachalati, shamtem l'tzayvah, you have made my nachalat.
As opposed to...
Yeah. Shvichu dami mitama ha'aretz.
Right.
Murder, bloodshed, defiles land. Gilei Arav, Tamei Taretz. Vatumak Shvicha Nikui V'Tara. Idea Galut, Idea Zazuim Shiva. Right, and that meaning the land is punished in a sense. The land needs to be cleansed and purified. So that's what the Rav Kook said. That the land is destroyed, desolate, and silent, and this destruction brings about an atonement. The Mashal. Kasher organism shel Adam Bari. When there's a healthy person, Yachar Ta Adam B'Chokma. God created man with wisdom. Pulat Halev Hamoach Minut Adam. Right, you know, the heart, the brain, the blood flow. Right, that continues when we're sleeping. Ugifnim Naaseh Fabrikatsia. Right, it's made like a fabrication. I mean, your whole body is like a plant. Ah, Kasher Uchalash. When there's a weakness, as yeshchulta, b'mivutz adam, b'mivutz chayim, b'mivutz alev hamakor. Right. So when a person is sick, blood pressure goes down, the heart rate goes down. Right. It's a fundamental weakening. Hamayan b'matzav shel chusha. The well is weakened. As hamayan posek lehazil. Right. Then the well stops flowing. Oven b'yuti has nozlin shel hamayan. Mayan him b'shefa. B'shefa means abundant. There's an abundant flow. Yesh shefa shel hazala shel nezila shel b'yut. There's health. There's an abundance of flowing. Hamayan posek milahazil, but if in lack of health, then the well stops flowing. Hazerim habari, the healthy flow nasek kima, it's less and less. Lo b'shefa, not in plenty. Thank you. B'chusha weakness. B'docha tipin drop akochi. Muhumi stanein kima. So and it becomes purified slowly but surely. Begalut. Shchinta begaluta, right? I don't know what he's talking about. I mean,
the Shchinta goes into.
I understand, but he's referring Shchinta begaluta clearly is a Zohar. It's a Zohar term, right? When the Shchinta is in galus, hamayan mu'ukah mu'upal. The well is mu'ukah means held back. Mu'upal means it's arafel, it's clouded. Okay, hamakorot hagalut, right? The makoriut, the makoriut means the foundationness. Hagadut, the greatness. Hagaon Yuta Makorita Yisraelit, the greatness, the fundamental greatness, the foundation of the greatness of Jewishness. Mu'or Pelet, it's clouded. Mu'mach Shrakim, it's darkness. Koach Hashchina, the power of the Shchina. Koach Hashra'at Hashchina, the dwelling of the Shchina. Koach Yiluy Hashchina, the power of the revelation. Yishar Kilu Yesh Nirvana Sholom in Kol HaOlam. That's left with God with the rest of the world. Smulat Yisrael and Kol HaOlam. Yimzeh Elokim Sheba Adam. So that's what he says. He says, does God reveal himself in the world? Yes, but he reveals himself less. God reveals himself in a sort of hidden way. Right? That's God's presence in the world. But when the Jewish people are in their situation, right, that godliness sticks out for us. So we think about it. There's no, without the Jewish people in the Eretz Yisrael, what are there none of? What is there not? No prophecy, no revelation, no miracles. But to us, the miraculous is miraculous because we don't experience that. Why? Because this revelation of God is in the hidden. It's clouded. But when we're in the right way, when we're in the proper way, that revelation is overt. It's explicit. It's obvious. You know, you read, honestly, you read the Navi, and the Navi talks, like what happened to Dira Yamin when Shlomo and Melech called out to Hashem, I dedicate the Beis HaMikdash to you. You know, the Navi talks to him, you know, just like the Navi talks to you, and he gives a message, and then the fire comes down, and they all bow down. And because it was clearly revelation of God, but nobody was shocked. That's what Shlomo expected. He expected Gilui Shechina. You know, and if that happened to us, it's just unthinkable. It's unimaginable. What's the difference? Right, what's the difference between them and us? Why did they get it and we don't? That's what he's trying to explain. Because in their situation, they are in health. And in our situation, we're sick. You know what I'm saying? It's a very powerful explanation.
Is that when you look at Jewish history, I mean, how many years were we in health? out of the whole total?
Well, 200.
Right, out of... What?
Out of the sum total of Jewish history.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Such a tragedy. Is that God's will?
I'm just saying, it's
you have 400 and something years of the Beis HaMikdash. 40 years of the
Mish. Basically, that you can only count like three, and you can't even count all of them.
Yeah, because they have.
If you count 40 years of Shlomo, maybe.
No, I'll tell you what I mean. Yeah. In Nisim, it said the Kol Zman of Bayis Rishon to the Smechros.
Right.
You had the 10 Nisim every day.
Right.
People could see.
Flies didn't.
And the Reach went throughout all of
the. Nobody aborted.
Right.
Okay. So you mean you want to kick those 400 years?
Right.
Even though the Nevi'im were complaining.
Okay,
so,
I'm
going
400 years.
I would say
it's
about 1,000 years.
No, because Vaishani was missing
I'm
all that.
I'm going backwards.
So what was going on in the world going out so
of the with Nevuah? You're saying 1,000 years
from
without the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people are being oppressed by the Philistines. The mass, like, I don't know, you cannot argue that the times of the Shoftim were good times.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I have to. So that's a good 350 years.
There was still time though.
That's what it says.
There was Nevuah.
Kol Yisrael Yaseh Sher Yatei Veino.
Right, Yaseh Veino Vasa.
Which unfortunately means to say that it was anarchy.
Yes.
Right. And after Sister Barak, it says that the Shaket Haaretz are by himself.
Right. 40 years.
40 years.
Oh, right. They have peace.
Quiet.
Yeah.
It seems like this was a challenge from the beginning.
Of course.
4 years.
Yeah, I mean. This is like a challenge from the beginning.
See, but you know what the beautiful thing is, though? At least now one can feel like we're on the upswing.
There's more to be careful about than
sure.
150
years ago. 50 years ago. Well, yeah, 50 years ago. I mean, you're afraid of what you see.
Right.
But you can feel like you're on the upswing. One should feel like we're on the upswing.
God willing, yeah.
You know, for all the difficulty and the trouble... There's still amazing things going on. I mean, you know, for all we complain about, we complain a lot. We have what to complain about, but there's still incredible things going on. Think about Eretz Yisrael now versus 50 years ago. You know the growth rate, the economic growth rate when Israel was in 2007? It was like insane. Like I read somewhere it was 50% or something. Some insane number. You know? Just economy-wise, and you know, the things that they have to deal with and they overcome. It's an incredible thing. So, you know, I really feel like as much as we complain and, you know, the government and the nutty things that the Prime Minister says, and you know, despite all that, as much as we have to complain about this, there's so much to be thankful for. Okay. So that's all gone. In Zelim Kim Shabbat, I got Hamayan, 2 lines on the bottom on 79, Hamayan, Posekim to Haziel. So remember, he's repeating it, but he's explaining it. The well stops flowing, and it becomes purified slowly. Becomes zerim chazak instead of a strong flow. Right. And remember, when it's flowing, then the hofaot, the demonstrations of life and thought emanate pachot b'sgulat Yisrael, less in the school of Israel. Meaning, normally, he's saying that the energy of life and the spirituality in the world are supposed to come from us. And they flow from us. Okay? But rather, but if that doesn't happen, if we fail, then the company unity. Yotzer derech hatzino ha-klali. Shu pazur b'chol ha-olam kulo. So then otherwise, the emanations of God through will come through the main gates for everyone. Ke'arvar v'chol ta-shamayim k'rashi. I'm going to spread you out to the four corners of the earth. Etchem, atem kriyim adam. You are called men. Atem tzuchim liyot adam. Atem. Ach v'galut, pirashti etchem. I've separated you. I've spread you out. Bizarpi etchem ba-olam. I've scattered you. Ba-arvar v'chol ha-shamayim. So you can see, like, you can, you know, imagine what you're supposed to be when everything's together and everything is good, and then, and so when you're spread out, you can't accomplish that. You're not able to do it in the same way. And not only can't you do it quantitatively, you can't do it qualitatively. You know, it's very interesting. I was reading the Mishnah in Sanhedrin today. It says when Rishayim are spread out in the world, and the Mishnah says that's good for them, and it's good for the world. Why? It's good for them because they can't get together and do evil.
Less concentrated.
And it's good for the world. Who needs them? When tzaddikim are spread out, it's bad for them, and it's bad for the world. You know, that they have to be concentrated. It's an interesting, very interesting argument. It's a very good. I've spoken about this before. This idea of what did I call it? Universality versus particularism. Right? You're supposed to, you know, live in B'nai Brak, like my brother does in Kiryat Sefer, and create these incredible communities, and what do you do with everybody else? Or you live in the middle of other people, but then you yourself are affected. You're dragged down in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult question. Okay, 8. Chazara makor l'tahara tov. Zet yiragalut b'muman ruchani aloki. So that's exile, but not physical exile, spiritual exile, godly exile. Matzav zet imshach kamash imshach. It lasts a little longer last game. El shanim. The Rosh Hashanah is 1,000 years, however long it takes. Who said of Hashem Haolam Shalatipul Azeh Shel Haisusidur Aloki Azeh? That's the order of the world. This is God's order. However long it's going to take, it's long it's going to take. And it could be, by the way, that the Rosh Hashanah said, "Okay, the flow is over." Could have been, it might have been over in the year, I don't know, 1500. What did we do? We did nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it could be that God said, you know, you say, hell, why did it take 1,000? Why did it take 2,000 years? You know what the Rosh Hashanah might say? I only took 1,000 years. What have you been doing the past 1,000 years? Who knows? No, it tells mine at that time, Atumam istaderet u'mishtalevet, the defilement reorders itself, mishtalevet.
Gets stronger. Well, it's like a flame, right?
Mishtalevet, shilud is combined, I guess.
Right,
Hamayim knows limba tuma, the water flows in tuma. Aval yesh gvul. There's an end, there's a board, there's a limit. Chas v'shalom ha'galut lo la'olam v'ayed. It's not forever. Me'ot shanim, elef shanim, apayim shana, wherever it is. 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years. Ha'fabrikatsia asher b'nei shalom asher lo yanum v'lo yishan. Right? The fabric of God, who never sleeps and never slumbers, oved b'tipul, mitoch hashgacha. Right? God is mitapel, he's engaged. There is hashgacha, there is involvement. Hamizilat mayan imshecha od ma'at v'od ma'at. Right, so this pure, impure, impure flow, it's less and less. Ad 8 kates, ad hagvul, until the end, until the beginning. Ad asher hazalot tatzmeot pratiyot mit paskot, until those small private flows, they end. Yesh gvul ad kama yizlu, v'kasher nigmar, there's a limit, and when it finishes, chozer matav l'kadmuto, hazmar ma'at mayan yiseket, right, then everything goes back to chozer kolachatumah l'tarato. And then the pure flow begins to flow again. Now there's nobody, the problem is there's nobody there to flow onto. Right? The flow has to be onto the pure. In those 2,000 years, God was working upstairs. Until the flow stopped. Damaret Erkovet, you know, finished its job, its idea. The tumor is gone, the purity comes. The chozer koach hamakor v'tarato. And then this koach, this makor, returns to its purity. That's exile. Meaning, that's not physical exile, that's spiritual exile. V'az, nikmeret hagalut, it's done. V'az nimeset hagalut medambre. Then Gullus, God despises Gullus. Why? Because when they have to be out, right, so now he hates it. He hates it.
That has a positive.
And you don't need it anymore. Nikmeret hagalut medambre. Say that.
It's a necessary evil.
Yeah, clearly. Because if it wasn't necessary,
but it's
why would God do it?
That we brought upon ourselves.
Yeah, in a sense. We brought it upon who we are, what we are. Sheila has a lot to me out. Elu chatahim shal Yisrael, these sins, these are the sins of Israel. Shuva shchinta begaluta. Shchinta is in Galus. He keeps quoting that, right? Yes, Tuma beYisrael, and Shkana Shem Tineh. And I think Rabbi Yehuda is alluding to things that are Kabbalistic ideas. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's almost saying, I'm telling you what it is, but if you understand me, great. If you don't, you have to learn more. I can't tell you more. You know, you understand what I mean? Get that sense from what he says? Because he keeps quoting those. He keeps referring back to those ideas. And I think you need to learn. There is a sense of, there is definitely classical Kabbalistic works that need to be studied in order to really understand as well. Yisrael Merkaz HaOlam. Yisrael Leiv Shebo Umot. Right? Israel is the center of the world, the heart of the nations. Le'erkam Shel Yisrael. Vis-a-vis the value of Israel. Yish Chashivu Begabei Kol HaOlam. The whole world needs us. Im Anachnu Bebriyut. If we're healthy, Lo B'chushah Lo B'galut. Zeno Gia L'chol HaOlam. Right? If we're healthy, that affects the whole world. V'chim K'shanachnu Adayim B'matzav Galut. Right? And the same is true when we're in exile. Ukshinigmeret Ota HaZrama HaPratiyut HaTmeya. When that flow, that unpure flow finishes, Azimmeret HaGmalut Minin Eset HaGamre. Right? So it's not our sins necessarily. The sins cause the flow. But then the flow continues afterwards. Right? That it becomes defiled. So it's not our sins. Shailah. Hazalah kima kima hizalah zalat veya. This slow flow is an impure flow. Chuvah king. Yeah. But matzav guvani briyuti, right? In a healthy living organism, zerem hadam chazak al pi b'dikot rofim. Right? The blood flow, your blood pressure is good. U'matzav lo bari shel chusha. Hazerem zoim, dam zoim lat, right? He says it flows badly, right? Is that true, Howard? Well, it could be the other way, right? Your blood pressure will be high if you said two. In general, if a person is in fact has an infection, was the blood pressure going down?
In general,
no. He doesn't have a shot.
In general, no.
It's a very late finding.
In general, if the person his life is sort of expiring,
right.
He will find everything.
I mean, he's giving a general
his
example.
His vitals will slow down. If you're talking about
towards the end, yeah.
Towards the end.
Sure. Right. Right.
That might be where he's going to.
But you can be very ill with normal vital signs.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway. It's a parable. Spiritually too. An unhealthy situation, a weakness. So that flows slower. So that's an unhealthy situation. I mean, just think about when you're sick, you just...
Oh, you're lackadaisical.
Yeah, you don't have the energy.
Right.
You know, you don't... The things that you normally do, like, you know, like if I wasn't feeling well, I could not give this year. I just, you know, the energy right. You have, the vitality you have.
You feel sad.
So imagine, like, the Jewish people are sick now. So whatever we, you know, you think about the incredible things we're accomplishing now in the world. Like Kirov and think about the good Jews do in the world to change the world. You know, imagine if the Jewish people were doing this sick. Imagine if the Jewish people were healthy. Pretty frightening thought. Okay. Then God hates it. He's repeating. He asks him a question, and how does he answer it? He says, well, my father said this. Okay. Can I start off a galut? You don't have the galut. When the galut finishes its job, right? He's a very interesting word. Then exile is nim'as. It's disgusting. It's despised. He mil'ah tafkida meshav elef apayim shani, finished his job, 2,000 years, right? Length of an eye, right? V'yesh efsharut chazer ala b'riyut. It's possible to return to health.
I like how he puts that word, v'yesh efsharut. That is the oz cause of b'riyut.
No.
He said oz. He said v'yesh efsharut.
He said we have to do our job.
Right.
It's our responsibility to see.
It's not a built-in definite fact.
No. No.
Then you have the possibility to
write it. Right. Then it's possible.
Not us.
No. Sheila, gam shehaverot v'chataim mamshichim. See, this is what the people in the Shir are afraid of.
Because people are still human.
Ah. Right. Meaning, what about now? Mm-hmm. You understand? Meaning, he's saying, great. So great. He brought us back.
And we're
right.
Sitting in Israel.
The flow is great.
Now I would argue that the things that are most dangerous are corruption. The things that the Nevi'im railed against were corruption, murder, and taking advantage of the oppressed. And so, what Israel needs to... I mean, God never see the Nevi'im saying, oh, you're like, didn't keep Shabbos well enough. Oh, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you see they say, you know, keep Shabbos and keep the mitzvos, but you never see the Nevi'im like really, they're mad about Avodah Zarah, you know, and they're mad about corruption and oppression and taking advantage of
the believe that there was a lax in Shabbos and Yom Tovim, or that...
It was. I don't think it was so important. You know what I'm saying? We emphasize these things because that's all we
know.
They were closer to God to understand what
the Shabbos was. Rebbe Shalom said, I don't want your... Right, the ritual, we emphasize ritual because it's all we have. You know what I'm saying? Even interpersonally, Lashon Hara are very important. But it's only in the context of our community. I mean, what God wants is the Jewish people to create a model society. He wants leadership that are honest and true leaders, that are good people. They're going to set an example for people. They want, you know, they want a government that's not corrupt. They want a, you know what I'm saying? They want a system that's based upon a certain godliness. That's what the Rebbe Shalom wants. And then the ritual comes in and it fills in the pieces in such an important way. It's almost like the,
it's
I guess you can quote me on this because it's being recorded. Could you imagine, like, you know, when you do, like, let's say you put sheetrock up, right? So after you do sheetrock, you plaster it up in between so that everything is nice and smooth. You mud it. Can you imagine mudding the studs?
It'll work.
What will come out?
It'll crack up and fall apart.
So, man, that's what we're doing. The mud is the ritual. It makes everything beautiful. It's the paint. You know what I'm saying? It's what you put on top of everything else, and then everything else is good, and then you add the shmiras and mitzvos. The shmiras and mitzvos, they complete our connection to the Rebbe Shalom.
The final touch.
Right.
I don't get it. You can't look at it like that.
I think that's how he's looking at it.
A mitzvah is something else. It's an integral
part. I know. It's too much for you. It's too much. I agree.
It's an integral.
It's too much. What I said is too much for you, and I accept that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But think about it in that way. Just for a minute. I mean, what the fundamentals are, you know, are relationship with the Rebbe Shalom. Don't commit Avodah Zarah. I mean, that's what they talk about the whole time. You know, when I'm doing Melacha now, so when God comes to Shlomo HaMelech, he says, do me a favor, keep my mitzvahs, and don't commit Avodah Zarah. Don't worship other gods. That's all I want.
And then in the end, what the Chazal say, that it was so hard.
He did it.
That the Gemara talks about that they were in shock. They were swallowed, that you
Correct.
Take it away.
Correct.
In other words, it's not that there was such a Yetzirah for that. It's that was far outweighing Yetzirah for other things.
Right.
That's what it was. Because you had so much closer connection to Hashem. That's the whole idea of Nevuah compared to Avodah Zarah.
I understand that. Right. I mean, I understand that. There was a closest.
That fight. In other words.
Right. But that's what the Rebbe Shalom wants. Klal Yisrael.
Right.
That's what he wants. And then the Shabbos and Shmiras Mitzvos and Kashrus and Taras Mishpacha, which are clearly fundamentals of Judaism, they fill in the pieces. You understand what I'm saying? But without the other parts, they're just stopgaps.
Can I do it a different way? You're going to do that, but if you don't have the background for the rest, then they're as much as if chemesim. In other words, if a person...
I wouldn't have said it so strongly, but if you're comfortable with that...
If a person is going to do everything else wrong, and then he's going to come to Shabbos, oh, hey, look at Shabbos.
Right, that's exactly... The Nevi'im rail against that.
That's right.
Right,
yeah.
Do I want, you know, do I want your korbanos? Do I want your, you know, your sacrifices, your self-affront, and you right. go kill each other?
So in that regard...
So that's what he said. They ask him, Hariyah, b'rot b'mshichot. Selah, 181. Most people commit the same sins.
Even in Israel.
Especially in Israel. Worse. Well, and we'll sing tshuva. So now the question is about Tzvi Yehuda. What does he need, or is he like living in a dream world?
Is the tshuva the fact that they're there?
Hagalut eina l'chinam. Yesh yachas v'shaychut bein tshuva u'ge'ula. Redemption and tshuva are the same. There's a connection. Hagalut eina l'chinam. It didn't happen for nothing. But like that, yesh the erech shel onesh, tipul, tihur, b'tshuva. Right? The Jewish people were purified in Galus, and so they're not doing the same sins. Shela, hold on. Harei nishamim kol hazmanim otam avirot. Az ech shayach b'chla ledaber shim agalut.
Oh, this is the famous question.
Tshuva, lo im otam avirot. Not the same sins. Mi amar lecha shenimrim otam avirot. Who says they're the same? Ata kol kach molamed chov. And you're so negative, meaning, don't be so negative, don't be so nasty. Lamadu Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. Learn from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Reditchev. Shayam Lamed Tzchus Al Yisrael. Kol Kach Levot Shachor. You all see black. And Aniyach Shreish Yikuzi Yimbirim Rabim. Adre God. Nachon. I happen to agree with him. I look at Israel, and I that's why I say the danger in Israel is when you see, you know, corruption. And power is a dangerous thing. Governments are dangerous things. Because the fundamental, it turns people off, but also it creates a culture of self-fulfillment and theft, right? And it's very, that's the most dangerous thing. The Rebbeinu Shalom hates that. But as long as people are honest and upstanding, and I personally believe that God would much rather a less quote-unquote firm, for whatever way you want to say it, less machmir, less makbid community that's honest and upstanding and upright, as opposed to a more upstanding community that's less, a less upstanding community that's more machmir, if you know what I'm saying. They shouldn't, and they don't go hand in hand. You know, but what's more important clearly is honesty and integrity. And if you see that there are governments, you can see it could go either way. You know, I mean, is the American government honest and upstanding? In general, we assume that it is, don't we?
Overall, its intentions are.
Overall, there's a sense that there's a sense of integrity and honesty. You don't think so?
You're looking at the individual.
I mean, you go to a place like Indonesia.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is mostly. It is mostly. You go to a place like Egypt, and everybody knows you want to get something done, you have to burn somebody.
Right. Right?
Israel's not like that. But it's very easy to get from one place, from one to the next.
The word
protects. It's very dangerous. Now, protection is who you know.
Right.
But if you clearly bribe someone, they would indict you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They wouldn't now. They wouldn't now. They indict everybody.
Because an after the fact, it's done.
And I think that as opposed to seeing that as being a negative thing, look at all these people do. You could also see the positive. Look at how they treat people. They don't wash it under the table.
Right.
Even if everybody does it, they don't tolerate it.
They bring it to justice.
Right. They try. They talk about it. You know, whatever. Okay. Sheila. Zeba li debitui bekasha asu tshuva. This comes to expression in the fact that they tshuva. But Vadai, certainly. V'vayisha galud lo v'chinam. The exile was not for nothing. Klapei shamayim. Klapei ribono shel olam. That's vis-a-vis God. Sheila, question. Ha'im rovim b'tchubat ha'tchufa asher atchalta d'geula asher am Yisrael chozer b'tshuva? The Jewish people return in tshuva. Tshuva, my answer. Maybe you don't see it. This is from God's perspective. Right? The idea of exile and God's leading exile. The godliness, the fabric of God, is becoming stronger and stronger. See, people are still sinning. You're not God. He said, and I think what he's saying is, even if I don't see it and you don't see it, if we are here, that shows us that it's not the same. By definition. Because it's an increase in godliness, an increase in spirituality, not a decrease. And that's a proof. And so I think that one could argue the same way, right? Who are we to decide? I mean, like, that's like the mission for Kiyavos. You don't know, yet there is shall mitzvahs. We have no idea what the important mitzvahs are and what's not. The fact that some mitzvah is popular today or not popular, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's to say what's important and what's not important? You know, what's critical and what's not critical? And so maybe the sins the Jewish people committed back then were the bad ones. And the ones we do today.
I had a question that I went around asking different little Yidalim, local Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. We were talking about the Churban Bayit Sheni, and everybody has to do it's Nidnei Maaz Nechlav Sinas Chinam, and so you have to work on that. And the Chofetz Chaim, they have the Heritage Foundation. Everything. I said, are we striving? My question was a simple one: are we striving for that? Bayit Sheni did not have the Lulav Tumim. Bayit Sheni did not have all the Nisim. It did not have the Aron. We're striving for second best. Why not? Saying we should strive for what we had lost in Bayis Rishon.
So we take for granted Gilei Arayos Shvichos Damim in
Bayis Rishon. So why do we strive for the Bayis Rishon that we're saying, you know, so I asked this to various people.
Yeah.
So the majority of Shmuelians, when I asked in town, he said, actually, you're right. We need a place to start from.
That's what he said?
Yeah. Of course.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
Of course, really, there's a lot more. Hashem sees that we're at least trying to start, because the idea of Ahavas HaBrius is so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to have even such a basin because and left there just because that, even though we weren't right really to have. But that was enough. But when that left, that was nothing.
How do you define Havas Abrius? Translate it first.
Havas Abrius means the love for other individuals.
Okay, good. How do you define that? How is that supposed to be expressed in the way that it's so emphasized?
That's a very good question. I'm not going to even touch it because we'd get into an argument.
We would, but that's exactly my point.
Right.
It's very easy to talk. I mean, your question is, why are we emphasizing this?
Right. So
my question is,
yeah.
You're not emphasizing, it's hard for me to say that you're emphasizing anything if it's just platitudes.
The Slum Rebbe answered something else.
Yeah?
He answered, you don't realize how important that is. If we are true of Hashem Bris, that's all Hashem really is, wants from people. Similar to what you're going. In other words, that's the idea of honesty and whatever. If I
have Hashem Bris,
that's the point. He was not saying that that's the start.
See, it's very, like, if you're reading this, what does Rav Kook want? So what does he want?
What does he want?
Yeah, okay, what do you
for
think?
Us to strive.
I mean, again, what do you think he wants?
I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not sure.
I mean, he's explaining a process. And he's explaining.
I sort of hear what he's saying, but I'm not really sure.
What he's doing.
Practically, right. This is not a practical book. This is understand.
No, I mean, like the overall. You know, it's sort of like it's like one step forward, two step back, three steps forward, not half a step back. That's the way we're sort of moving forward.
He says
it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. We're actually much better than where we were 50 years ago.
And he doesn't want us to lose hope. That's really.
I mean, that's from a firm standpoint. But
yeah.
You know, from a general standpoint, are we doing so much better than?
What do you mean from a general standpoint?
I'm saying, like, when you look at the majority of Jewish people who are now.
It's like everything else in the world. It's like America, right? 1% of the people have 50% of the money, right? And 80% of the people have no money. So is America wealthier today than it was 50 years ago? By far.
But it's where it's distributed.
Yeah. But now, even, by the way, I would argue, even the middle class.
Has gone down?
No, it's gone up significantly. Their quality of life, significantly. I mean, immeasurably. So now, are the Jewish people better off? Let me ask you this. Are the Jewish people better off? So the people that have nothing, the people that are unaffiliated, I hate to break it to you, there were a ton of unaffiliated people. I mean, you look, you read a history. I talked about this earlier this week. There's this book called The Great Brain. You ever read The Great Brain when you were a kid? Great Brain is a great kids' books. So I'm reading him. I gave it to Bezalel, and he's reading it. He loves it. So there's a story about this guy, A.B. something, A.B. and whatever. This kid is a kid in Utah. It's a children's book, you know, middle school book. This kid is a kid in Utah. They live in a town, a Mormon town in Utah. And he says, that's about his life. And this guy, this Jewish guy with the skull cap and the long gray beard, comes in with his cart. And he's pedaling through Addenville, Utah. And it's clearly telling a true story. I mean, it's a story that happened when he was a kid. He's writing about when he was a kid. And like, it tore my heart out that these were the Jews, you know, and this guy in the end dies. He dies in his kvura. Like, they do a Christian ceremony because they just don't know it. There's no other Jew around to do a Jewish ceremony. They would have done a Jewish ceremony for him. How many of these guys were there, like, in the 1800s and, in the 1900s? And, like, you know, that just withered away. Gone. So even the people here, like you said, the middle class of Jews, there's a sense of the people who are aware of their Judaism, the sense of Jewish knowledge, the sense of Jewish awareness. Let's say, you know, like, I lament the conservative movement. Like, you know, like, there was a kid in Bezalel's Kung Fu class. I mean, they people know who I am. So we used to sit, like, in the early Kung Fu class, I would sit in the class. So this woman, she introduced herself, and we're talking. And I noticed now that her son's not in the class. So just happened, we were in Kosai in Toledo. We bumped into them. She said hello, we're talking. And I said, we didn't see him in Kung Fu anymore. She said, yeah, because we decided to send him to Hillel, and we just couldn't afford it. I mean, like, that's a serious nefesh to send your kid to Hillel. It's a ton of money. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that these kids are getting an Hillel is not so bad. They're going to learn how to read Hebrew. They have basic knowledge. You meet people who went to Hillel. You know, and there are Hillels across the country. So, you know, as opposed to the previous generation of parents in the conservative movement who all sent their children to public school and Hebrew school, and they hated it. So at least there's a, you know. So is Klal Yisrael worse off in many ways? The not-haves? Terrible. But the haves? are much better off. Much, much better.
Yeah, it's much shorter. Right.
Yeah, you know, the contrast are stark.
Right. I mean, the education, everything is...
All right. Where are we? All right, let's continue. I want to at least for sure finish this, and then maybe even one more. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, but what is he picturing? I can't answer.
What do you mean? What he's ultimately picturing is, as the Jewish people become healthier and healthier, it's a process where the Jewish people become not only become physically stronger, but then spiritually stronger, and it will manifest itself in different ways. And ultimately, we manage to sell the Shemitah Samitzas. But it's not just that we become Fulham and then we'll all like come to Eretz Yisrael, and then, you know what I'm saying? It's a process that's multi-layered, and that happens all together. And that's how you have to see it happening. You know, that the nation of Israel becomes stronger, and more people become connected to Israel, and Eretz Yisrael as an idea, and Eretz Yisrael as a notion, and as an entity, and Klal Yisrael. And in that way, then it increases religiosity, it increases the connection of Klal Yisrael. You understand what I'm saying?
Actually,
it's a much more nuanced than the simplistic idea of, oh, Mashiach's going to come, we're going to float there.
Because I saw the report this year, they had the lowest, I think it was in Jerusalem Post or something.
Lowest
the
what?
The lowest Aliyah rate.
They had the lowest numbers
in 20 years.
Yeah, but a lot of that is not fair because you always had Russians coming.
Lost
in. Yeah, whether right, you know.
The French went last year.
I guess so. Where are they going to come from? You know, when, unfortunately, what causes Aliyah most?
Troubles.
The Iranians
just came there.
All the Iranians, there were no Iranians, you know, so where are they going
to
come from?
The Iranian Jews had to talk about how...
There aren't that many other sources.
Mm-hmm. What?
There aren't that many.
France is gone.
There won't be any other...
They're not in Europe.
There's still a lot of France.
There's a lot of France? It's not bad enough. Man. That's bad. It flares up. In Germany, there's a lot in Germany, a lot in England. You know what I'm saying? At what point did it, you know... It's a good question.
When you reach Sanhedrin, you know, like you were saying, Sanhedrin, it says there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, the 10 tribes can never come back or not.
Right.
Right? I mean, one opinion is they're lost. Right.
No, from what we know of the world today, the tribes are done.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's sad.
No, they're
that's
not. Like, for a different thing. You know why? I'll tell you why.
How are they not?
Very simple. We have an idea that the tribes went into exile, and so we immediately, as children, think, "Oh, the whole you're from Dan. All right, everybody from Dan."
I mean, not everybody.
That's the point. There were
no, but he's not saying the idea of the Shvatim is lost.
No.
He's saying that four-fifths of Klaizer, five-fifths of Dan,
is what makes
population-wise.
What does it say that Gemara says? If a person says, I'm going to judge you, it's mid-dawn. If a person says he likes
you... No, but five-sixths of the population is gone.
Are
assimilated.
They're
done.
They were all there.
Come out of the tribe.
That's the reality.
So that's called, a weeding process. The point is that the ones that are here are from those Shvatims.
So you want to say that? That's what you mean, that he says, Mistanein kima kima. He's the language of Mistanein. He's not purify. It means Sinun.
It's
filtered.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Gelus is a filtering process. Not everybody will participate
right.
in it.
Right. Right.
Assimilation, if you want to say assimilation or persecution, or I mean, that's just the nature of the Jewish people. Only the people that want to be a part of it will ultimately be a part of it.
And ultimately, he's talking from Kabbalah and Yadam. If you get all the way far from Kabbalah, you have all the neshamas. So who's coming back? So we said, you know.
Okay, Sheila. Time close to the bottom. Kiva mitzvot begalut gam ken beotom b'kor tameh. So when people keep mitzvot, then you're saying it's from the unpure kula. Shiva, kiva mitzvot be'eretz Yisrael, afilu mitzvah ishit, omer ha-chafetz chayim, kukmo esrim pam otam mitzvah b'chutz la'aretz.
Yeah.
20 times more valuable. Yesh makom ha-vit chasrava kla Yisrael, yoter v'yotel et Yisrael. That you can understand that the return of Jews, zeh gam ken talit shel tshuva. That's also a process of return of tshuva. Tali shel havra'ah, shel yoter v'yoter b'yut, greater and greater health. You know, you can even say, like, are the numbers, like I was talking, like, with this shlichat aliyah, no nefesh b'nefesh thing, are the numbers in America really up? So if you ask nefesh b'nefesh, yes. If you ask the Jewish agency, they say no, because it's all politics and money. But, you know, but what nefesh b'nefesh has done is it's put the idea on the map in the idea of Americans. It's made it not nuts. You know what I'm saying? That's a very powerful, powerful thing. That there's this entity that will, that you know, that there's this entity that can take you as an American and move you to Israel. Like, that's an incredible development, because what that does is it creates an emotional connection between anybody who could consider it. Before, it used to be you wanted to go, you got to talk to these Israelis. It's like, how can I do that?
Now they're taking care of the people.
I can talk to somebody who's going to connect me. You know what I'm saying? And that, just that idea in and of itself is an incredible idea. You know, so even if the numbers aren't up by great margins, nonetheless, it creates an emotional connectivity and an intellectual connectedness that Rav Kook would say, and does say, is important in and of itself, even if it's not a number on the ground. Because remember, like, this whole idea is not a number. It's an idea of an organism, a Klal Yisrael. So the more connectedness there is, the power of that idea is. You know, and that's a very incredible thing. But what are you saying? Right, the more health there is, the less bad flow. The impurity stops and the purity begins. Right, and this again, this flow, this fundamental fountain returns to its purity. The Briuto, the 82 on the top. Now you see he's quoting the whole thing. Then again, it becomes unnecessary. It did its job. As much as necessary. And the exile is extra, unnecessary. It's preparation. This broad light. This Israelite light. Right, then it returns to its original fountain. Hatzpitzivi shelanu, our fountain. Hayana asli prati b'chol chelam, and all of its force. B'chol kocho, with all of its power. V'az, orosh al Mashiach ha-mekabeti nachim matchil ha-hofia. Then the light of Mashiach that gathers the indigent begins to appear. B'chol b'chi tamurim shal rachel makam banea mitmatek ayidei hashivat tanchumim. Okay, then the cry of Rachel, who's crying on her children, mitmatek, tov, sweetens, okay, through the shifat tamchumim, the flow of consolation. Shalmini kolech mibechi, v'enech nimina, stop crying, hold back your tears. Ki yesh l'chadu b'desh m'mashem, v'shavu m'eretz oyev, there is reward for your actions, says God, promises God, and they will return from the land of their enemies. V'yesh tichva l'ach, v'tech l'retov, v'shavu v'anim d'gulam. Seder Kibbutz Galut, Shuvah L'Eretz Yisrael. The return to Eretz Yisrael, he says, Zet Shuvah. That in and of itself is Shuvah. So he's saying, you know, you have to see, it's all, where's the Shuvah? People are sinning. He says, no, you don't understand. I'll prove you this Shuvah. How can I prove it? Because people are returning to Israel. Without Shuvah, the people would never return. Because the physical return and the spiritual return are one and the same. It's all part of the same process. It's the same organism.
Why are people more connected to Israel now than 50 years ago?
We are. For sure we are.
I'm not saying why. That's the question.
So he would say it's part of the process. It's a general part of the process.
Do you hear what he said?
And by the way, you could argue that, and I'm thinking about this also, any level of connecting is important. People like, you know, go to APAC, and they're connecting. They want, you know what I'm saying? They want to be in law. They want to support Israel. That connectedness, that desire for Israel, that's the part of the connection he's talking about, the organism of the Jewish people.
Read the 52.
Yes.
He's telling us what is the big Aveira that caused everything.
What did he say? He died with
that they went down to Mitzrayim, that they left Israel.
Hold on. I ain't call that to our perfect. 52, we're on the bottom footnote. Kashi Avrilim kamu kamitzarot afilu hachi lo yazivu azvu et Hashem and Echolatam eretak dusha et mir b'yaminu. Okay. They should not abandon Israel. B'zohu yiyeh ikar tshuvatam. Now be the return ki atshuvat siyichal yod be'otso makom b'do ma'iseh. The tshuvat should be even the same. B'yikar chatam is man habayit tu ayayu yiyatam
amitzayim. He's not saying it's the other thing. The ikar was that they left their show.
Moshe Amar HaKad Levahoy Yod Yomar Tzunayim. Yishtar mizeh chatayim yidolim. Lekachti atshuvatam v'atid shelo yinat shinach latam. Yeah, it's not him. Who says it? Yeah. Ayin Ema Banim Smecha. Bad Gemel Gemel. Okay, how about you buy Yeshna Bisel? Okay, so what does he want? Figure it out. Okay. All right.
Figure it out. Oh, and the time of the temple, and they went to get people from Egypt?
I think people went to live there, sure. You died in a Chikam, the whole story, right? I'm not familiar with it. All right, we'll continue next time on page 82. And I know it's going to cover a lot more material, but I want to, if possible, finish the whole piece, because there are really two small pieces, one small piece, and then he tells a whole long story, which is a nice idea. Okay, I'll stop here.